Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Bava Kama, Daf Lamed Gimel. So we begin two lines off the top, but it pretty much picks up from where we left off yesterday. So we had a statement from Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina that in a certain case, a person is only responsible for the arba'a dvarim, which means paying for the person's, the victim's damages, pain, doctor bills, loss of wages, right? The nezek, the tzar, the ripui, the shevis. But if he's killed under those circumstances, then there is no chiyuv to go to galus. So the perpetrator doesn't have to go to the ir miklat to atone for that death. Now, in yesterday's Gemara, we applied this statement, this halacha, to a case where a fellow walked into a carpenter's workshop and was struck by the carpenter's flying splinter. So we explained why there's no chiyuv galus, even though this victim died, but the carpenter does have to compensate in a case where, you know, he harmed him and didn't kill him. He pays the arba'a dvarim, but if he killed him, b'shogeg, there's no galus. Now, today, the Gemara will apply this same halacha to a different case. Says the Gemara two lines off the top of the Amud. Rav Zvid Mishmei de Rav, he applied this halacha to the following case. The pasuk describes a fellow walking into a yar, a forest, to chop some wood, and unfortunately, his wood splinter, the metal flew off the handle, the metal of the axe, and it struck this other fellow who happened to be in the forest at that same time. It was not intentional, it was b'shogeg, and therefore he goes to the ir miklat, to the city of refuge for galus. The pasuk in describing that incident uses the word umatza. Umatza esre'eu vames. It encountered his friend, it struck his friend who died. Umatza, prat, we learn from here, prat lemamsias atzma, as opposed to a situation where the victim availed himself, made himself, exposed himself to the attacker. It wasn't intentional, but the attacker's flying projectile. So in that case, even though he was struck, he was killed by shaking, there's no galus. Mikan Amar Blazer ben Yaakov, based on this, says Blazer ben Yaakov, in the following case, there's no galus. Mishiyatzasa, even mitachas yodai. So a fellow takes a stone, throws it into the street, you know, not expecting it to hit anybody. And suddenly a fellow sticks his head out of a window and puts his head in harm's way, and the projectile comes and hits him. And he dies potter. The person who threw the stone is potter. Because there's only galus when first the person is there and then he throws it and it strikes the person. But if the person was not there at the time of throw, he wasn't in harm's way at the time the person threw the stone, there's no chiv galus umatza. It has to strike the person who was there at the time, as opposed to mamtzias atzmoy, a fellow who avails himself later on. So there's no chiv galus. But amar besi b'chanina, true, pater megalus, but b'chay b'bodvarim, he still has to compensate. Let's say there's no death involved. He harmed him in this manner. He has to pay for it, for damages, etc. Because it is an act of negligence. What are you doing throwing stones to the street? Okay, so this is today's version, that it applies to this case of stone throwing. Now, man the masn laha, so the one who applied the halacha to this case, that here we say there is a chiv of arba'a dvarim, because he's somewhat negligent, even though, you know, perhaps he looked down, he checked, there was nobody there, but he should have expected, perhaps, somebody will come into harm's way, so he's chayiv for that. Koshkar HaKamaisa, certainly in the previous daft, yesterday's daft, where, you know, the carpenter noticed his customer walking in, why would you continue hacking away? Uman the Masna HaKamaisa, however, the one who applied the halacha of Arba Dvarim to the previous case of the carpenter, there is an element of negligence, a strong element of negligence. Avalaha, but in this case, where he checked the street, there was nobody there at the time. Patel Gamri, even though it ended up striking somebody, he's totally Pater, he's exempt, he's an Oynes. He didn't have to, reckon for that possibility. Continues the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan Poyalim, Shebolud Bayas Chorim Balabais. We have some workers, some laborers who are coming to collect their wages owed to them from their boss. V'negochan shorish balabayis. So they walked into the balabayis's property to collect their pay, and they were struck by his ox unushachan kalbish balabayis, or bitten by the dog of the balabayis. Umeisin, they died. Potter, he's not liable for that. Acherim aimrim rashoin poyalin litzbayas chorim balabayis. Acherim hold no, they're fully, entitled to come collect their pay. He should have expected them to come and, to come to collect their pay, and therefore he should have kept his animals under watch. And therefore he's responsible. Now what exactly happened? Hechidami, why are they coming to run after him for pay? Either shchech b'masa, if this boss shows up out in the street, in the marketplace, he's he's a sociable person. My time with Achirim. So why do Achirim say that they had a right, they were expected to come, he should have expected them? Wait until he gets to work one day. Why are you running after him and knocking on his door? So he's not responsible. He didn't expect him to come. If he's only found at home, he doesn't show up in the street, he's an introvert, a hermit fellow, then of course, what do you expect? How do you expect them to collect their pay? Of course they're going to come collect their pay. My time on the Tanakhama. So why does Tanakhama say that that he's potter? He didn't have to expect him. Of course, they're going to be coming to collect their money. Says the Gemara, Leitzricha, must be a case where it's sort of in between. Begavra, the Shchiach, the Shchiach. He comes, infrequently out to the marketplace. So now they're not seeing him and they're coming to collect their money. Bekari Abava. And so this worker comes to his to his entranceway, and he calls out to this boss, and he gets a response. V'amar luhu in, and he turns and he responds to them with the word in. Yeah, so they called him, Chaim Yankel. He says yeah. So there are two ways to interpret what in means, what yes means. Mar sover in oil ma tamashma. Acherim hold that when he said yeah, he meant yeah, come inside, come. And now he expected them; he knew they were coming in. He should ensure to protect it. Umar Savar, the other sheet, says, no, in kuma duchtach mashma. When he says, yeah, he meant, right there, I'm coming out to you. And therefore, they should not have entered. Ta'ani kemanda Umar, in kuma duchtach mashma. There's a right from a braisa. Then, in fact, the word in indicates, stay in your place, I'm coming to get you. The son, you have a braisa. Poyol shenichnas lizboya shchorei balbayis. So the poyol came to collect his wages, and ukochai shorei balbayis. Oyne shochay cowboy, or he's struck by his animal, potter. Even if he came in with permission. Really? If he came in with permission, am I potter? Why is the owner potter? Ella lav the kore above. Oh, it must be this type of case that he called out for him. V'omar li'in, he responded with a yes. Ushmamino, and the Bryce clearly holds that the word in as a response from the balabayis just means in, yeah, wait a second, I'll be right out. Kum, stand aduchtoch on your place, mashma. Says the Mishnah, Shnei Shavarin Tamin Shechalvu Zabazet. So we have Reuben's ox, Shimon's ox, getting into a fight, striking at each other, and each one harmed the other. Mishalman B'Moisa Chatzin Nezek. So we reckon the amounts, we total up the damages, and anyone who damaged more than the other, so the balance has to be paid. But of course, since they're Shur Tam, so let's say Reuben's Shur damaged more than Shimon's share, you have to pay that extra, but only 50%. Chatzi nezek. Shneim muadim. Suppose both animals were muad, which requires full compensation. Mesham b'moisa nezek shalom. So the balance has to be paid in full. So again, let's say Shimon's animal harmed Reuben's share, damage of $100, and Reuben's share did $200 worth of damage to Shimon's share. You have to pay the extra $100. Nezek shalom. Echa tam v'echad muad. What if one was a tam, one was a muad? Muad v'tam. So if the muad caused more damage to the tam than the tam to the mu'ud, mishalom v'maisa nezek shalom, so he has to pay 100% of that balance, tam and mu'ud. But if the tam was one who did more damage, mishalom v'maisa chatzin nezek, he only pays 50%. Likewise, when two people struck at each other, mishalom v'maisa nezek shalom, a person does not get any discounts, we know adam mu'ud l'olam, fully liable, so he has to pay 100% of that balance. Adam b'mu'ud, mu'ud b'adam, what if a person picked a fight with an animal, who happened to be a mu'ud, and they both harmed each other and damaged each other. Mishalom v'maisa nezek shalom. So the rest has to be paid in full. Now, Adam b'tam, b'tam b'adam. But let's say he was against a tam, did more damage than the tam did to him. Or in the reverse, b'tam b'adam, tam did more damage than the adam. So it depends. Adam b'tam, the case where the person did more damage, mishalom v'maisa nezek shalom, he has a pain, nezek shalom. Tam b'adam, if the tam did more damage than the adam, mishalom v'maisa chatzin nezek, it's only a 50% pay. Hell, here comes a chiddush from Rabbi Akiva. Akiva, Oimer Av Tam Shechav Al BeAdam. Even the case where the Tam's damage exceeded the damage that the Adam did to the Tam, Mishalom B'Moisa Nezek Shalom, he has to pay 100%, because when it comes to an animal and a person, it's always 100% pay. Tanur Rabbanan. Why? Says the Brisa, Kamish Betazeh Yosaloi. So first we have a discussion about Asher Tam, then about Asher Mu'ad. And it says, well, if I strike a person, so we learn from here that when there's some interaction between an animal and a person, it follows the same system, the same formula as two animals against each other. Kamishpat shur b'shur, just like a shur against a shur. So it's tam, it's chatzi nezek. If it's mod, it's nezek shalom. The same thing with shur, kach mishpat shur b'adam. Works with the same formula. Ma shur b'shur, just like an animal against an animal, tam mishalom chatzi nezek. Umod nezek shalom, but the tam it's 50%. Umod it's nezek shalom. The same thing with a shur b'adam. Av shur b'adam, tam mishalom chatzi nezek. Umod nezek shalom. That is the chacham shita. That animal versus person follows the same system, the same formula as animal versus animal. But Rabbi Kiva Aimer, no. Let's be medayik the word hazeh, kamishpat hazeh. That when it comes to interaction with a person, you follow the most recently stated formula, which is the mu'ad formula, stated most recently in the pasuk, kamishpat hazeh hatketachten. Most recently stated discussion, which is the mu'ad payment, her full payment, nezek shalom v'loike elyoin, rather than the previous discussion, which is the tam 50% payment. Yochel mashal min ali. Oh, so if we follow nezek shalom like a mu'ad, so perhaps we apply all elements of mu'ad. And we know that the big major difference between tam and mu'ad, not only the fact that you pay more, you also pay min aliyah from your own pocket, as opposed to a tam who only pays migufay, in as much as the animal's worth. Right? You can't obligate him to pay in excess of the animal, the attacker's value. So perhaps when it comes to striking a person, just like you pay nezek shalom, like a mu'ad, you pay min aliyah. No. Tam aloymar. The pasuk says, ye asaloy, kamish b'tasay ye asaloy, you do to him. It's personal, meaning it's animal oriented. It cannot exceed the value of the animal. You pay migufay ve'ene mishalom min aliyah, as opposed from his pocket. That's because Rabbi Akiva focuses on the word hazeh. We follow the mu'ad system as opposed to the tam. Rabbanon hazeh lamali, what do they do with hazeh, which comes to sort of make a mi'ot, to exclude something, meaning that when an animal strikes a person, there's some limited form of payment. What is the limitation? When a person strikes another person, you pay arba advarim, right? Nezek, tzar, ripu, shevis, abayshis. But not when an animal strikes a person, you don't pay anything other than actual damages. Rabbi Akiva, lepoitim arba advarim, and only had Rabbi Akiva know this limitation. Nafkalei from a different pasuk. Learns it from Ishki, itimun ma'amisoi. So the pasuk, in discussing all those extra payments, speaks about a person striking his friend, ishba amitoi. Velo shev amitoi, a person against his friend, as opposed to a shor striking his owner's friend. It's not about dvarim in that case. Rabbanon, why couldn't the Rabbanon learn from there? Imahi, if perhaps only from that pasuk, I would say have a minute tzar l'chudei. That when the animal strikes a person, the person does not have to pay. The owner of the animal doesn't have to pay the person things which are not tangible, which don't present as actual financial losses, like tzar. Pain, that's not tangible, tastes adds boisterous embarrassment. So perhaps from those things he's exempt. But things which do cost money, doctor bills, loss of wages, perhaps even when an animal strikes a person, the owner has to pay these payments. That's why we need this new pasuk. It's only actual financial loss, actual damages, but nothing else. The bottom line is, when there's a two-way fight and there's, you know, equal damages, then there's nothing to discuss. But when there is moiser, when there is a balance, so one caused more than the other, one damaged more than the other, so you pay either chatzenezek or nezek sholim based on the status of the animal. And Tosis and the Rashash learn, I mean, what's the chiddush here? It's pretty much simple math. You say, well, perhaps you would say it's like a two-way street. You hit me, I hit you. It's like one, like mevasachas. So we look at it as one package, and we just like sort of cancel it out. You don't have to go and formulate some sort of payment. It cancels each other out. No, we don't do that. We take an exact reckoning of what happened, and whoever harmed or damaged more has to pay. Then we have this machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon in terms of an adam and an animal. So an adam pays the shalom, but what about an animal? Who's a tam? Struck a person. Chacham say chatzin nezek. And Rabbi Akiva says nezek shalom, but it's only migufa, not mealiyah. Continues the next Mishnah. Shor shove masayim. Shenogach. Shor shove masayim. So we have a shor worth 100 coins. Let's call it $100. Shenogach shor shove masayim, who strikes an animal worth 200, and he kills it. So we're talking about a shor tam. He pays 50% of 200 is 100. And the carcass is not worth anything, so basically he has to pay a full 100. So the victim's owner can actually take possession of the perpetrator, of the attacker, who's worth 100. Right? It's chatzinez. Now, the fact that we allow him to just grab the animal, mas nisn mani Rabbi Kivi. Our mission apparently is Rabbi Kivi's shita. The son, you have a brisa regarding what happens after the attack. How does he collect his dues? Yusha mashar bevezn. According to Bishmoel, the victim has no right to go grab the attacker. You take the attacker, you appraise it in Bezin, you see how much it's worth, and based on that, you figure out how much he's responsible based on the migufoi consideration. Again, that means that you can't pay an excess of the value of the attacker's value, right? So according to Bishmoel, you don't just grab the attacker, you evaluate, you appraise it, and then you go and the attacker's owner writes a check. Rabbi Kiva imahuchlat hasher. He holds that the actual animal that attacked is now granted to the victim. Victim sort of assumes ownership of the actual attacking animal. Huchlat hasher. But Michael Miflegi, what's the machlekes based on? Like, what's the source? What is it? Which pasuk are they discussing? Rabbi Shmuel Sover. So Rabbi Shmuel holds Baal Chayiv who. That the victim is a Baal Chayiv, meaning he's owed money. V'zuzihu demasakle, he has a monetary claim to pay me for the damages, but he can't actually go and access the actual animal. Rabbi Akiva Sover shutfininu. No, the Torah regards them as partners, meaning the victim now becomes a partner. He assumes ownership, part ownership of the animal. Become miflegi by a crow, it's based on how to learn the pasuk. Umachor hasher hachayiv v'chotzos kasboi. So you have an attacker who happened to be a tam. Kill the other animal, you sell the attacker, and you split the money. And actually, Rashi says the pasuk is speaking about a case where the attacker was worth 200, and the victim who was killed was worth 200. So now the attacker has to pay half of the victim's value, which is now 100. So the attacker who was worth 200 now becomes. Is partially owned by both individuals. Shutfin, they become partners because each one has a half ownership in the animal. Shutfininu, right? And the question is how to learn the pasuk. They sell the attacking animal, they split its value. Rishmol sover lebedino kamaz rachmona. The question is who's the Torah speaking to? Who's the Torah instructing? Sell them and split the money. Going to Rabbi Shmuel, the Torah is telling the Bezin, instructing Bezin, go ahead and look after the victim, have the animal sold, and the money split. Rabbi Akiva suffered l'nizak u'mazik mazur l'rachmano. The Torah is actually instructing the individuals, Reuben and Shimon, the mazik and the nizik, to go and split the animal, meaning the victim now has ownership. He becomes the balim of the animal. Might be now. Now, what tangible nafkamina is there? A difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, whether or not the victim becomes an owner. So Rabbi Tosha says, actually, we have many, many nafkaminas. He's an owner. What does an owner have in his animal? But we're going to pick one example. What's an nafkamina? Higdisha nizik ikabinayu. So Reuben is the mazik, right? He's the animal's owner, the attacker's owner, and Shimon is the victim's owner. So the nizak Shimon was magdish the attacker. Ikabinayu. That would be the difference. Is Hegdish activated? Does Hegdish apply? So according to Rabbi Shmuel, no, he's not yet an owner of this animal. According to Rabbi Akiva, Yuchlat Hashor becomes an owner, and he has part ownership, and he can be Magdish it. He becomes property of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi asked a shout to Rav Nachman. Machrei Mazik Rabbi Shmuel Mao. So Reuben, the Mazik, sold the animal. What is the halacha? According to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that Shimon does not assume ownership. So what happens if the mazik sells it? What would you say? Kivan d'amar Rabbi Shmuel b'al chaybu v'zuzu the mazik lay. Since Rabbi Shmuel said that the owner of the animal is just a b'al chayv, right? V'zuzu the mazik lay, and he has to pay him Rabbi Ozim, so Shimon is probably called about Balchay. Balchay is the one who has the claim. Vizu the mazik lay, and Shimon has this monetary claim. Machar. So then, if Reuben sells it, I mean, he's not supposed to. Not a very nice fellow, but technically speaking, he's the owner. He's the sole owner, and it's sold. Oy Dilma. On the other hand, you can say kiva the meshabed like the nizik. The fact is that the animal is committed to the nizik. Right, because unless he actually lays out the money and pays for the damages, the victim will take the animal. He's not yet an owner, but has a right to go and access it unless he's paid up. So lafkal kamine. So perhaps we can very well understand that Reuben had no right to sell it, and it's not a sale. Amalei. So he responded, "Ein macher. It's not a sale. It's not valid." Tanya, but we have a price of macher macher. If he sells it, it's sold. Well, yeah, it's sold for the meantime. But chayzer v'goy veil. The victim certainly has a right to go and get it back, expropriate it from the buyer. Well, if you tell me that it has a right to go take it from the buyer, lama machor, so to what extent is it sold? What do you mean it's sold? Liridia means for plowing. In the meantime, if the victim happens to use it, so that benefit is his, because technically the animal was sold. Says the Gemara, so you mean to say even though Reuben is the real owner, Shimon has a right to go and collect the animal? Shmamina lovo moicher metalton. So do you mean to say that if a person borrows money, then he sells his metalton, his belongings, which is something that the Baal Chayv didn't really have in mind? When a person lends money, typically he's securing the loan with, he's relying on real estate that the loiva has. He's not going to be relying on mobiles and belongings and metalton, which the person could just, walk off with. So do you mean to say that if a person borrows money and he sells off his metalton, Bezdin goyvin lemehem, Bezdin allows the Baal Chayv to collect from those things, which is a chiddush. Why would you say that? A person typically does not have that in mind when he lends money. So why do we allow the Shimon here to collect this animal that was sold? Shani Hassam, the answer is, it's very different in this case. The command, the osak, poitiki dummy. Apoiteki stands for apoitehikoi. Your claim, your loan, is going to be applied to this. Meaning your shibud is specific to this item, this animal. And in this case, Rashi explains Rachmano Shavye. The Torah made the shor, the attacker, is now apoitekel migmi by shor, so that you can go and access this animal, even if it's sold. You have a right to go and expropriate it from the buyer. Says the Gemara, really? V'amar Rava tells us, we actually learned this in Daf Yud Aleph. Oh, so Abdi Apoyteki Umuchari, a person borrows money and he turns his Evet Knani into an Apoyteki. He earmarks it as designated for the Malvez claim. And then he sold it. Bal Chayiv Gayu Hemenu. So the Bal Chayiv has a full right to go and collect from the animal. Shoyri Apoyteki, but if he made his Shoyr, his animal, into an Apoyteki, and he sold it to Mukhari. So again, oh, so Abdi Apoyteki Umuchari. But by the animal, he has no right to collect this animal from the buyer. You know why? Evet, my time, and the reason is, and the Gemara they explain, because by the the animal, everybody, by the slave, everybody knows, oh, this slave was there was a lien applied to the slave, keep away, don't buy him. Person that buys it, at your own risk. But an animal, who recognizes animals, who knows about animals? They're not, identified, they're not, so therefore, a person does not necessarily know that a certain specific animal a lien was applied to it, so what do you want from him? Why would he keep away and not buy it? So that was the chiluk, that was the difference between the two. So yeah, so the question is, if we see that the apoteket does not apply to the shor, to allow the guy to collect from it, so why in this case, when the shor gored, when he damaged, when he attacked, do we allow the victim to collect from the shor, which was sold to somebody else in the meantime? Says Gemara, yeah, you know why? Eved my timer. Why do you access an eved that was sold after having become an apoteket my timer shouldn't be islei kala? It's publicly known. Everybody knows. Oh, this eved was made into an apoiteki. Hainam here as well. An attacking animal. Everybody knows. News is the news of the street. Kiva the nagach. Once an animal gores, kalis. Everybody knows. The toyer nakchana karle. Everybody knows. Oh, this is a violent animal. So once it happens, and there is a lien applied to this violent animal, everybody knows. Everybody clearly identifies this animal. Oh, that's the animal. Oh, that's the one that keep away. Don't buy it. Lest you lose your animal when the victim comes to claim it. Okay, so bottom line, we have this major machlokes between Rabbi Akiva, who says yuchlat hasher, when a sher tam strikes, the victim now assumes part ownership in the attacker, and therefore if the owner is magdishit, the hegdish does not. If the victim is magdishit, the Hegdash applies, as opposed to Rabbi Shmuel, who says, no, you don't assume automatic ownership, you have a right to collect from it, eventually, if he doesn't pay you off, but you're not yet an owner, and therefore Hegdash does not apply. What if Reuben is Meicher, he sells his animal? According to all Shittos, Shimon eventually has a right to collect on it, because the Torah turns it into an apoteki, there is an active lien on it, and therefore, even if it's sold, which allows the buyer to use it for the meantime, he doesn't have to, he can benefit from it, but eventually he's going to lose it should the victim decide to collect on it. Tani Rav Tachlifa. So Rav Tachlifa Bar Marava from Eretz Yisrael from the West presented a Braisa Kamei to Rabbi Evo. Mecharai Ein Machor Hegdesh Ein Mugdash. Okay, so we sort of had a riddle. If he, we don't know who the he is, is it Reuben? Is it Shimon? If he sells it, ain macher, the sale is not valid. Hegdish and mugdash, he makes it hegdish, the hegdish is valid. Now, who sold, who was magdish? Mechorei ma. Ilei ma'mazik mechorei, Reuben sold it. Ain macher, you mean to say it's not valid? Mani Rabbi Kivi, this must be Rabbi Kivi's sheet, who says that he already lost ownership. The Amar Huchat Asher belongs to the victim, belongs to Shimon. Okay, fine. But now continue. Hegdishai Mugdash. If he's Magdash, it works. That doesn't work like Rabbi Akiva. Asan Rabbi Shmuel. That must be like Rabbi Shmuel. Damo Yishamashar. Shar is valued and evaluated and praised. Yishamashar Rebezn. But it's not automatic ownership. And therefore, it still belongs to Reuben. So, who's the author in this Braisa? Is it according to Rabbi Akiva Shita or Rabbi Shmuel? Ella Nizik Machari. Ella Nizik. Oh, apparently, we're focusing on Shimon the Nizik. So, let's see. Machari Eni Machar. If the Nizak decides to sell, it's not valid because he's not yet an owner. Money, this is Rabbi Shmuel, right? But then Higdish and Mugdish, if he's Magdish, it works because he's an owner. It's only Rabbi Kiva, it's only Rabbi Kiva. So again, we're running into issues. Laila Mazik, let's go back to the first approach. Reuben was Meicher, Reuben was Magdish. And let's explain the entire Braisa, B'divrei HaKol, and it works according to all Shittos, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. You know why? Mechara Eini Machar. If he sells it, it doesn't work. I feel Rabbi Shmuel, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that the Nizik is not yet an owner, but if the Mazik sells it, it doesn't work. The Meshab like the Nizik. Because the fact is that it's bound to the Nizik. There's a lien on it. He has a claim on it. So you're right. In the meantime, the sale is valid. Liridia, we said before, he can, the buyer can use it, can benefit from it, but ultimately, the Nizik has full right to go and collect on it. And when it says Higdishai, Mugdash, that when the Mazik, Reuben is Magdash, it works, Afilu Rabbi Kiva. Even Rabbi Kiva would agree there's an element, at least midrabbanan, there's an element of hegdish. So although min haTorah there's no hegdish because Shimon is now the owner, but even if the mazik is magdish, even Rabbi Kiva would agree we treat it midrabbanan, we treat it like hegdish for a parent's sake. Mishum de Ravo, just as Ravo tells us in a different halacha than Ravo, we don't just, you know, ignore the hegdish. Gzera, we require them to, we require them to at least do some symbolic form of redemption, gzera, for concern, shamayami, people, less people will say, hegdish yoytzeb lepidin, look, something was hegdish and now it's suddenly being used as a non-hegdish item. So even if Reuben was magdish, and he had no right to do so, according to Rabbi Kiva, because he's no longer the owner, but at least he's not a full owner, so he has no right to magdish the full thing. But with magdish, we treat it as hegdish to some extent that you have to redeem it in a symbolic fashion. So let's say we're speaking about a shor which is going to be totally belonging to the nizak, like in the case where the damage to be paid is $100 and the shor is only worth $100. So in this case, the mazik, Reuben really should not have a right to be magdish because at least certainly according to Rabbi Kiva, it's totally belonging to the nizak. But midrabbanan, we treat it as such, we have to do some sort of symbolic redemption. Tanu rabbanan. Now we have a braisa, which Rashi says is going to be fully explained later on. So at this point, it almost sounds like one big long riddle. Tanu rabbanan, shor tam. So we have a shor tam shehizik who attacked. Actually, amad bedin. So before the bezin got involved and required, you know, payment for those damages, mechari mechar. If he sells it, who sells it? We'll see in a minute. The sale is valid. Higdishay mugdash. If he's magdash, it works. Shechotay v'nost matana. If he slaughters the animal or he gives it away as a gift, masha asa asui, whatever he did is done. So this is before Bezdin got involved. Misha amad bedin. Once Bezdin gets involved and obligates payment, mechorei eina mocher, hegdishay eina mugdash. So the sale, the hegdish does not work. Shchotay, if he shechts it, or when the son of matana gives it away as a gift, lo'asu leklum, it doesn't work. The Brisa continues. Kod mubali chayvus v'igbiu. Suppose Reuben had owed money to a bank, and now his animal went and attacked. Now we have a victim who has a claim on the animal, but the bank came along and grabbed the animal to collect their dues. So bein chav achalei hizik. Whether he had owed the money to the bank before this attack took place, or the other way, bein hizik achalei chav, or the animal attacked and caused damage before he borrowed the money. Le'yosav leklum. So the bank's collection is totally null and void. Why? Because a tam pays migufay. The claim lies on the actual animal, right? So he's the object of the lien of the claim, and therefore the damages are applied to the actual animal, so to speak. The claim is on the animal, and that overrides the monetary claim of the bank. Now, this is all regarding a tam, but a muad shehizik, a muad who attacked, bein shamad bedin, bein shlemad bedin, whether bezin got involved or they have not yet got involved, mecharei machar, yidishay mugdash. So if the attacker sold it, it's sold. He was magdash it, it works. Shchotay masane matana, masha asa asoy, a done deal. Kod mu bali chayves big bil. Let's say the bali chayves who he owed money to came and collected the animal. In this case, it works. Bein chav ashalei hizik, bein hizik ashalei chav, whether their loan preceded the hizik or the attack preceded this loan, masha asa asui, their collection is done, is a valid collection of vishein mishtal melam naliyah, because by a muad, the claim does not pertain to the actual animal, he pays from his pocket, it doesn't relate to the animal, therefore the bali chayvos have full right to collect on their dues, on their loan, from this animal. Okay, so end of Braisa, end of riddle. Now let's go and explain the Braisa line by line. Amar, let's go back. Braisa says, by Yeshur Tam, beginning of the Braisa, Mechorei Mechor, even if he sells it, it works. Says the Gemara, Leridya. So even if you hold that the victim has ownership, like Rabbi Kiva, but after all, it's temporarily a sale. The customer has a right to use it. Hekdisha imukdash. And when we say that the hekdish works, even though he's not really the owner, it all belongs to the victim, b'shem the revo, based on revo's halacha, we don't want it to appear like something which was hekdish and just ignored, so we require a symbolic redemption. That's what the b'raisa means. Shchotev nasana matana, masha asa asui. So if he shechts it or gives it away as a gift, it's valid. Now, b'shlam nasana matana, masha asa asui, understand that if he gifts it, it works. It means to say l'radio, even though ultimately he's going to lose the animal to the victim, but in the meantime, you can use it. It's his. Ela shchatai. But what do you mean he shechted it? It's a done deal. What do you mean it's a done deal? It's still around. The flesh is still here. It's valuable. Let the victim collect on the flesh. Let the victim come and grab the flesh as compensation for his damages. This time you have a brisa. That's fair. The pasuk says, "Machros asher ha-chai." He sell the living attacker. Chai. Ene lechai. So if he's still alive, you can collect from him. Shchatim minayim. What if he shechted him? Tamulayim machros asher mikol makom. See, the pasuk says the vegam asameis yechasun. They split the dead. It should have just said the machros ha-chai. Why as hashor ha-chai? That's how the Malbim explains the Gemara. The extra word shor tells you tamulayim machros asher that even if he's no longer alive, he was shechted. The victim has a right to collect on the basar, mikol makom. So what's the big deal that he shechted it? Omar sheizvilat nisrucha lepchas shchita. Oh, we're speaking that it went down in value due to the shchita. And the chiddush is that the mazik, Reuven, doesn't have to compensate for that. Meaning you have a right to collect on it, whatever it's worth now, gesunte, take it. Omar b'din Rabbi Shua. Why? Why doesn't Reuven have to compensate for that, you know, difference in value? That loss of value caused by his shchita. Zois oimeres, we will learn from here an interesting halacha. Mazik shibudu shachavei repater. Person damages an item which is, Rashi says, karka, let's say, property, which is meshubad. Person has a lien on a piece of land, somebody goes and he's mazik, destroys it. So in a roundabout way, he caused that person harm. It's not direct harm. It's a gerim, because he now, you know, he took away something, you know, the item of your lien, right? He harmed your lien, he damaged your lien. Your potter. Because it's just a, you know, it's causation, it's not direct damage. Just like in the case of the shechita, look, he shechted the animal by which he caused damage, because he's mazik the shibud, he lowered the value of the item of your lien, your pot. Pshita, well, obviously, that's exactly what the Brice is saying. Why does Rav Huna have to come and say, so he said, meres, sort of we deduce from there, it's exactly the same halacha. Ma'udatema, perhaps I would say there's a difference. How some of the amalei, you know, in the case of the animal that was shechted, he can say, look, what did I do to you? Look, here's the animal, just like before. Well, he happens to be alive, now he's not, big deal. Loi, chasatech lemidi, there's no tangible deficiency. I didn't actually take anything away from you. I just took away its wind, its spirit, its life. But look, he's still here. So perhaps that's why he's put Ava Ba'alma. But typically when he actually, you know, goes and physically destroys the item of his lien, maybe it's different. Maybe he has to pay for that damage. The chiddush of Rav Huna is no. Just as the shechita does not require payment, any mazik shibudai is treated the same way. Well, Hanani, Nami Rabba Amr. This too was taught by Rabba. Dama Rabba, Soyrav Shtereza Shachaber Potter. Person goes ahead and burns a loan document belonging to his friend, thereby preempting any further collection on that loan. So he caused him tremendous harm, but in a roundabout way, right? He's mazik his document, which would have given him access to that loan collection. But the fact is, I didn't burn anything of value. I burnt just a shtar. It's a mazik of shibud. So there, he actually burnt something tangible. He was mazik something tangible. Rabbi says, you're potter, because it all goes into this halacha of mazik shibud de shechaveri. So why does Rav Huna have to come and repeat the halacha again? Maldadema, perhaps I would say, well, hasam udamalei, even in the case of the person that burns a shtar, he can still sort of justify himself. Damalei can say, look, I just burnt a piece of paper. I didn't actually burn $1 million. What do you want from me? Let's say he actually takes his tractor and he digs ditches and pits in a piece of property which was the shibud on which this fellow had a lien. That's actual tangible damage. Perhaps Lechayiv would have to pay in that case. Comes Rav Huna and says, no. Kamashmon, just like by the shechita of the animal, which is a visible, tangible, noticeable change, physical change. Rashi says a shechita is niris v'nikeres, and you're still potter for bringing that about. Because after all, the animal's still here. Likewise, even if he's mazik, a piece of property which is meshubah to the other fellow, thereby diminishing his claim, it's only a roundabout hezek, and in at least in dini adam and in bezn shalmata, we can't obligate kamash mon. The hocha, because now case of the shechita, command the chafar baburis sichin maris dummy. The making the animal shachot, that's a tangible, visible change. It's like digging pits in a karka. The kamar and the brisa says, too bad, masha asu asui, done is done. He doesn't have to compensate him. So we see mazik shibud shachaveri, even in this drastic way, does not carry any liabilities. Okay, so that explains that part of the brisa. Brisa continues. At the end, we have the case where Reuven had owed money to a bank, and those fellows came and collected on this animal, which now attacks Shimon. Shimon's animal. Kodma bali chayves v'igviu, so the chayves came and collected on the animal. Bein chavat shali hizik, whether in a case where their loan preceded the attack, bein hizik ashali chav, or the attack preceded the loan, l'asav leklum, they can't collect on it, f'ishein m'shtal al migufay, because the chiv to pay by yashar tam is migufoy, it's animal based, and therefore the animal is meshubad for paying those damages. Therefore the bank has no access. Well, what do you mean? Depends what happened first. Bishlam hezek achalechav, I understand full well if the attack happened before he borrowed money from the bank. Of course, so the bank goes, the attacker, get the victim, has priority. Nezakin kodm, sure. Aval chavashle hezek, let's say he borrowed first. So the animal's claim preceded the attack. Why doesn't the bank go first? You know what? Even if the attack occurs first, Balchayv Kadam. The fact is, the bank already has it. Rashi says the Balchayv was Teifus. That's it. He got it. He shouldn't have, but he has it. So why do you take it away? Shema Mino, do you mean to say, this is a controversial halacha, Shema Mino, do you mean to say Balchayv Mu'ucher Shekadam Begava? If he later, a fellow who has a later claim, comes and collects. He shouldn't have, but if he does, Masha Gava, like Gava, you mean to say we expropriate it from him and give it to the earlier Bachay? That's a chiddush, because really it's a machlek. So basically, how do we understand the Brisa? Why did the bank lose it? Needless to say, if the bank came first, of course they have a right. And even if they came second, the fact is they have it already. Well, says the Gemara, Loi, no, you don't have to. Come to this conclusion. Perhaps even if a later Baal Chayv collects first, done deal. And here it's different. You know why? Vishani Hosman. Listen to this. The Amr Leib, because the victim can claim to the bank, look, my claim rests on the animal. Sharatan pays me gufay. Okay? I don't even have to reckon with you. The Amr Leib tells the Baal Chayv, Ilu gabo chava. Imagine, just picture, if the animal would have already been by you when it caused damage. Let's say you would have collected it a year ago, and it would have been mazik my shur. I still would have gone after the same animal. So my interaction, my claim is on the animal. Ilu gabachav, even if it was by you, loy minachav agavile, wouldn't I have collected on this animal? A shur tam pays me gufa, right? The high tera da askam. So it's this shur that harmed me, or my animal. Minei mishtalam, I'm collecting on this animal. I don't care who owns it. Rashi says bitmia, like sort of in a question mark. Ilu gabachava loy minoch hava gavile laitura da askem name is talamna. Da iter da askem name is talamna, because it's from this animal that attacked me. I will collect on it. So even if, let's say, the Baal Chayv had a right to collect, right? So let's say the animal was mazik me, and then the Baal Chayv came and grabbed it. So perhaps, typically, the Baal Chayv can hold on to it. He has it already. But the fact is, my claim rests on this animal. Who cares? Who owns it? He owns it. You own it. I'm coming to collect on the animal. So that answers our kasha. Again, we had a kasha. What happens if the the Baal Chayiv had an earlier claim. His claim preceded the Nezik. Why can't he collect on it? Yeah, okay, go collect it. I'll take back the Shor, because the fact is the Shor was Mazik. And I have a claim on the Shor. And likewise in the case where the Baal Chayiv really came after the, lent the money after the attack took place. So even though he already has it, he's Teifus, but still have a right to go pull the animal back, because my claim rests on the animal. Okay, let's do a quick chazar of today's daf. We start with the halacha, where a situation where you're potter from golos b'chayiv in the arbo advarim. So either it goes on the case of the carpenter's shop, or in the case where a person throws a stone to the street. You have different versions on that. The poyalim came to collect their wages from the balabayas. He's a fellow who is found infrequently out in the street. So, they had no recourse other than going and finding him at home. But the fact is, when they called him, he said, yeah. So, two ways to learn. Either he means, yeah, come inside, because you're not going to find me out there. You barely find me in the street. Come, I'll give it to you here. Or it means to say, no, wait out there. Sometimes I come out there. I come to work sometimes. So, that's a machlekes. And the question then is, if the Baal HaBayis should have expected them to come in and should have kept his animals at bay. We have the Mishnah with animals attacking each other. They cause each other damage, so the balance, the Moisar, is paid off by the owner of the animal that caused more damage. So if it's a Tam, Chatzi Nezek, more Nezek Shalom, regarding a person with an animal, a person's always Nezek Shalom, but an animal against the person, Chacham say, well, it depends if it's a Tam or a Mord. Whereas Rabbi Akiva learns from Pasik that it's always Nezek Shalom. Then we have the Machlekes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, a short time that was Mazik. All agree the victim has a right to collect, to access the animal. It's an apoytiki, it's a lien on it. But Rabbi Akiva has a chiddush that he becomes a part owner to the extent that if he's Magdashit, the victim is Magdashit, the Hegdash works. All agree that the Mazik, whose Magdashit is if he sells it, at least the customer can use it in the meantime before the Nizah comes and expropriates it. We had a Brisa, which went through all different types of cases of selling and the Magdashit. We had a Chiddush of Mazak Shibudish Haveir, which is Potter. And the fact is that even if he's Sheikh at the animal, and lowers its value, he doesn't have to compensate the victim for that difference. Then we have an halacha that the Bali Chayiv, who come and collect from a Shor Tam, whether or not the Chayiv came before the Hezek or after the Hezek, the victim has a right to take the animal, because his claim lies on the animal, therefore he can take possession of the animal. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.